The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus heard of the death of John the Baptist, he withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. The crowds heard of this and followed him on foot from their towns. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, and he cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples approached him and said, "This is a deserted place, and it is already late. Dismiss the crowd so that they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "There is no need for them to go away. Give them some food yourselves." But they said to him, "Five loaves and two fish are all we have here." Then he said, "Bring them here to me." And he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing, broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, who in turn gave them to the crowds. They all ate and were satisfied, and they picked up the fragments left over, 12 wicker baskets full. Those who ate were about 5,000 men, not counting women and children. The Gospel of the Lord. In the Old Testament, Moses is quite an important figure. He's the one that leads the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt. He's the one that guides them through the desert, ultimately wandering for 40 years until they make it to this promised land where God will provide for them for generations to come. He's also the one that goes up on the mount of Mount Sinai to speak directly with God, to receive the Ten Commandments and the law, to try to be a moral teaching for the people. Throughout the Gospel of Matthew in particular, Matthew tries to show that Jesus is like a new Moses. He comes to bring a new law. In fact, he goes up on a mountain to give the Sermon on the Mount, kind of a new teaching that doesn't necessarily supersede the Ten Commandments, but kind of expounds on them, how we're meant to follow them in Jesus' kingdom. He often shows Jesus as this new Moses, wanting to lead people into freedom, freeing them from the sins of the past or from effects of evil like sickness and death. But also he wants to give them the eternal bread of life. Now, like Moses gave the people manna in the desert to sustain them for those 40 years, that up to this point in the Gospel of Matthew, he's done a lot of teaching. He did the Sermon on the Mount. He taught them about the kingdom through the parables. But now we get to the place where it's going, well, what does this actually mean for us? We're just supposed to believe in Jesus and kind of see all the cool things that he does. That I think the listeners that Matthew would have been speaking to would have been wondering, well, when is Jesus going to give us this manna? When is he going to give us something like the bread that sustained the people of Israel when Moses needed to guide them through the desert? Then we have this scene where Jesus goes off by himself, but then the crowds follow him. This is he's moved with pity or compassion, wanting to give them exactly what they need. Similar to what happens with Moses in the desert. He says he's moved with pity because the people need something to eat. They need food. They need water. And so what Moses does is he goes directly to God. He says, "Lord, I need you to provide for the people." They're going to get upset. And frankly, they're ready to go back to Egypt. They're thinking that slavery wasn't so bad as long as we had something in our bellies. And so God miraculously provides this manna that comes every day, but there's always enough to satisfy everyone. They don't need to gather it up and keep it for themselves or keep it for another day. He will always provide it over and over and over again in such a way that there will be enough for all. This first miraculous feeding of the 5,000 that we hear about in today's gospel is Jesus doing something similar. That he wants to provide that physical food for the people that are in this deserted place. But the way he does it is actually quite different from Moses. They both go and come to God and say, "Lord, we need this to provide for their physical needs." But Jesus takes this very meager offering of handful of loaves and some fish, and he takes that and offers it to God the Father. Moses didn't have anything to offer. He just said, Lord, we need this manna. We need something to sustain us. God provided it like dew in the morning, just kind of miraculously showing up out on the ground. What Jesus does is he wants to, I think, encourage his disciples to have that same trust in God our Father that Moses had back in the day and that Jesus has in this moment, but also to realize they actually have something to bring to God. And something to bring that doesn't seem like it's going to be near enough. Maybe it's me being a bit of a smart aleck or sometimes being a little sarcastic, but whenever I hear this story, I wonder, you know, whichever the apostles was bringing the five loaves and two fish, if they were kind of being a smart aleck, right? Kind of like, Jesus says, well, if they need some food, give them some food yourselves. And they're like, well, this is what we got. I don't know about you, Jesus, but I'm looking out there and this is not going very far. In fact, we're probably just going to start a riot because like five people will get food and nobody else is going to get food. This is a bad idea. Right? That when the apostles bring this to Jesus, they're really saying, Lord, we definitely don't have enough. And I think that's actually what Jesus wants them to realize. That like the people in the desert with Moses, they realized on their own they would not have enough physical food or water to provide for themselves. So in that moment, they're called to bring what they do have and offer it generously to Almighty God. Not because God's going to take it, because he's going to take what little they have and make it enough for everyone. Make it enough so everyone can have some, yes, but also make it so that all can be satisfied. I think that's the lesson that Jesus, as the new Moses, wants to not just teach the crowds, but especially to teach his disciples. That they can know when they encounter some sort of need. They can look around and see what they do have. And oftentimes probably feel like they don't have enough. They don't have enough food in this case. Maybe other times they don't have enough time or resources. Maybe sometimes they don't have enough skills or feel like they know what to say or how to speak to the people that are in front of them. And in those moments when they feel like they don't have enough, the point is not to try harder. The point is not to be like, okay, well, I got to figure it out. I guess I'll throw myself out there and just see what happens. The point is to bring what little they do have. Bring it to Almighty God through Jesus Christ and ask him to make something good from it. Ask him to provide for those people, not so that I can become famous or be the one that gives them what they need, but so that they can trust in you, Almighty God. So they can have that same trust and confidence that Jesus, our Savior, has in his Heavenly Father. We can start to have that same confidence that Moses and the people of Israel built throughout the time in the desert. That day after day being provided for and being sustained and satisfied, we can trust that God will give us exactly what we need. Actually wonder if that's what St. Paul is thinking of in this letter to the Romans. I've been reading about it for about the past 4 or 5 Sundays. And all throughout Romans, Paul is telling them about how we are united to Christ. How the most important thing is not how successful we look or what people see from the outside, but that especially through the sacrament of baptism, how we can be united to the everlasting life of Christ. And then he goes on in this 8th chapter of the letter to say very powerfully, what can separate us from the love of Christ? For us, that might seem like, well, sure, Jesus' love is always there. But for Paul and the Romans, there was very real, tangible things that seemed like they could get in the way of the love of Christ. Paul himself had been imprisoned. He had been tortured. He had been sent off into exile. He had been shipwrecked. He had everything taken away from him, all his possessions, all his clothing. So when he lists off anguish, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril of the sword, these are not abstract things for St. Paul. They're not abstract things for the Roman Christians that are facing the persecution of the government. They're very real things that have either happened to themselves or probably people that they know. But Paul says, no, in all these things we conquer overwhelmingly through Jesus who loved us. And in a way, it's not just about that bread. It's not just about God giving us what we need physically. In fact, sometimes we'll be lacking in those things. But by receiving that bread of life, especially I think St. Paul thinking about the Eucharist, as we receive that food, that satisfies us. We can actually learn to trust Almighty God, that no matter what's going on in our bodies and in the physical world around us, we can know, like St. Paul, that nothing can separate us from his love. Nothing will take him away from us as long as we have that trust and confidence in Almighty God. Brothers and sisters, let us pray in this Holy Mass that Jesus can be that new Moses for us. Not just the one that brings the law down from the mountain, as he did on the Sermon on the Mount. Not just telling about how one day things will be better in the promised land and in the kingdom of heaven, as Jesus did in the parables. Especially let us allow him to be the new Moses that shows us how to trust in Almighty God. That no matter what need we experience, whether it be physical hunger or a spiritual need to be united to God himself, that no matter what we find ourselves lacking, we can always bring what little we have and give it to God through Jesus, trusting that he will multiply and provide for our needs, not just with enough for everyone to have some, but provide with enough that there will be an abundance. 12 wicker baskets full, enough to feed all the tribes of Israel over again. Let's pray especially that as we offer the bread and wine on this altar, we can unite our own meager offering to Jesus on the cross, that he can take that offering and multiply it, providing for us and our families, showing us how we can trust in Almighty God each and every day.